Europe.
Ukraine's front line. Longing for silence. Diplomacy fails the folk on the edge.
Lyuba Vorwechik lives underground. Her neighborhood, the Petrovsky district of Donetsk, is close to eastern Ukraine's front line. When shells began landing on her street last summer, she moved to the dank basement of a local cultural center, where she and her two youngest sons share a narrow bed with faded pink sheets. Frightened and exhausted, Miss Vorwechik has not slept at home in nearly a year. The latest ceasefire has provided little solace. They should hush up, Ms. Vorwechik says with a sigh. They promised. Those promises were the subject of high-level talks between Russia and America last week. John Kerry, America's Secretary of State, conferred with Vladimir Putin, Russia's president. Victoria Nuland, another American envoy, shuttled between Kiev and Moscow, urging compliance with the faltering Minsk peace plan. But as diplomats keep talking, the guns keep sputtering, and civilians like Ms. Vorwechik keep suffering. The United Nations estimates that the war has left 5 million people in need of humanitarian help. Of the more than 6,000 killed since last April, most have been civilians. Some 2 million people have been displaced, and countless more reduced to lives of basic survival. Worst hit are the sick, the elderly, and children. The woes of frontline residents have mounted as the authorities who are supposed to succor them vanish. Ukraine's government has stopped financing the separatist-held territories, including pension payments and doctors' salaries, and has offered haphazard help to the internally displaced on its side of the lines. The separatist leadership has proved capable of little more than waging war. Russia's aid to the region has been heavy on guns and light on butter. It turned out that nobody cares about the people, says Evgeny Shibalov, co-founder of Responsible Citizens, a volunteer-run humanitarian aid group in Donetsk. The outside world has ignored the plight of the Donbass region, treating war as a geopolitical rather than a humanitarian problem. Of the $316 million the UN requested for aid to Ukraine this year, only a quarter has been pledged. Humanitarian organizations and volunteers have stepped in. The International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, opened 5 offices in the area. Médecins Sans Frontières, or MSF, a health charity, has sent dozens of doctors. During the heaviest fighting, Responsible Citizens delivered aid to red zone areas which others deemed too dangerous. Pomozem, a foundation started by Rinat Akhmetov, Ukraine's richest oligarch and a native of Donetsk, distributes monthly food handouts to over 800,000 people on both sides of the lines. More still sign up every month. The foundation's 12-kilogram package of essentials like salt, sugar, pasta and flour helps us survive in this nightmare, says one pensioner from Donetsk-Kievsky district, which borders the city's heavily bombed airport. When war was raging, aid workers focused on treating the wounded and evacuating civilians. Now, as fighting has ebbed, though not fully ceased, attention has turned to securing medical and food supplies and rebuilding damaged homes. Ukrainian government restrictions have exacerbated supply shortages, limited civilian access to aid, and deepened resentment in separatist-held areas. Pensioners can only retrieve funds in government-controlled territory, and many are physically or economically unable to get there. To cross the lines, residents need a pass from the Kiev authorities. That can take months. The rebel authorities pay pensions sporadically. Other problems will linger long after all fire ceases. When the conflict stops, it doesn't mean life goes completely back to normal, says David Nash of MSF in Donetsk. Unexploded ordnance hides along country roads. Psychological trauma haunts daily life. At one school near the front, childish drawings adorn the wall. Subjects include 2 soldiers running through a field beside 2 tanks under a receding sun. an old woman and a boy huddled with their cat and dog in front of a burning home, and two children gripping their mother in candlelight with the words, "Give us back the quiet."